listening to Go On with Jess Leach, part of the Treehouse Lifestyle Network. Go On is a weekly chat with interesting people on the topics of style, food, design, and the like. On this episode of Go On, I have two guests in the studio. Aaron Johnson and Rodimus Roldan are here to talk about coffee. Aaron has got 10 years of experience in coffee that started at Starbucks, was developed through Caldi's, and finally landed him at Rise Coffee House in the Grove. And Rodimus is a skilled barista at Blueprint Coffee, where his creativity with coffee extends far beyond latte art. Rodimus has competed in the regional and national U.S. barista competition, and... oh, I didn't have an and after that. Okay. Aaron and Rodimus, thanks for being here.
That's
when you guys say hi. Okay, we're going to try that one more time.
I was Snapchatting. I'm sorry.
Aaron and Rodimus, thanks for being here.
Hello.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, coffee. We let's start with the journey of coffee from ignorance to bliss. I want to hear your stories.
Yeah, go first, Aaron.
Well,
yours is probably longer.
With coffee began, I think, with imitation, watching my dad drink coffee every morning. I wanted to be just like him. So in fourth grade, I think I was allowed to start drinking coffee as I read the New York Times, which was his routine, which I was happy to copy, and it served me well. It took me years and years and years to get to what I now think of as good coffee, but honestly, every step of the way, it was good coffee, from instant coffee in seventh grade when I was homeschooled.
Instant coffee.
Don't tell anybody. Oh, this is being recorded. instant coffee in seventh grade to diner coffee all through high school. I think everybody goes through that phase who loves coffee. Diner coffee, I still drink.
I'm still in that phase.
It's not a bad phase to be in. The diners aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's some good coffee now. Yep. At a lot of restaurants.
Yep.
Batch brew.
Batch.
And now? Now you drink only the finest of beans?
I still drink bad coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
well, good to know.
It's walking in a room knowing.
Even the best still drink bad coffee.
Yep. I have a friend who says you have to drink bad coffee to know what good coffee is.
That's absolutely. A very wise friend.
Yeah. That's why you come to Blueprint sometimes when I'm working.
So, Rodimus, tell us about your coffee journey. Where did you start drinking coffee?
Well, kind of like Aaron. I started when I was way younger, though. When I was about 4 years old.
No.
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah. It was pretty sweet. A lot of milk, a lot of sugar.
Okay.
It's not too far off from what I was already drinking. Just the caffeine. And that was almost daily.
At four years old, you were drinking daily coffee.
Once I was around the age. 4 foot two, if you can't see him right now.
Yeah, I'm actually in a booster seat right now. pretty regularly. And that was my mom was in every day, multiple times per day, kind of drinker. And I'd just drink what was left in the mocha pot after she was done. And that continued for a long time. Actually, kind of very recently, I was kind of like, well, maybe it's a bad idea to be drinking this much coffee. But until then, coffee's.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad about my coffee. I hated coffee. I didn't start until I was in college. And a friend was like, here, try this pumpkin spice latte. And I was like, ugh, no, coffee. It smells great, but it tastes awful. And then I tried it and I was like, this is like candy. So that was my gateway coffee.
Yeah.
Was the pumpkin spice latte, and then it more sugary steamed milk coffees, and I finally weaned myself down to pour. Now I can enjoy a nice pour over.
Yeah,
a lot of the times at Blueprint and Rise.
Yeah, that's where we are right now in the industry. But that's not to say that like there is nothing to be enjoyed in like a good pumpkin spice or
white chocolate.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's where it starts for a lot of people, and then you start to consider what it is that why you're drinking that drink, you know? Like, is it for the sugar? Is it for the caffeine? When you start to really kind of break it down, and as a consumer, you want to be mindful of what it is that you're putting your money into. If that's how your line of thinking goes, eventually you're going to consider the things that go into it, and that's where you start to appreciate some of the nuance that you find in coffee. That doesn't mean that I don't still enjoy like a good vanilla latte. And that's where I started. It was the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, and even now I still drink them. I'm not opposed to it. I think that if that's what brings you into a coffee shop and you enjoy being in that coffee shop with your vanilla latte, you're right there with me. I might be drinking like just a double espresso, but we're enjoying the same things. And that's the quality and dedication that goes into making both of those drinks.
So you talk about coffee like you have been making coffee forever, but you're pretty new to the barista scene, right?
Yeah.
You've been in St. Louis, which is really where your career with coffee started, for 2.5 years?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I started with Caldi's, and it was only because I had read about some of these guys in Japan that were, and this was like right when I moved here, I read about some of these guys that were doing these things in coffee. That they, what appealed to me was their dedication to craft. And I was like, yeah, I do enjoy drinking coffee, but I admire like their work ethic and their dedication to like exploring an idea fully and completely. And that was where it kind of started for me. I decided, I was like, you know, I'm going to be in St. Louis for a little while just to try it out. And I applied to the closest coffee shop that happened to be on the corner of my block, and it was a Caldi's.
Which happened to be a great coffee shop.
And it's super fortunate because I had an idea of what it was that I wanted to explore with coffee, but I had no idea how much there was to explore, and I fell into the right place, and that was with Caldi's, hired by Kevin Reddy, who's now one of the owners of Blueprint, a really good friend of mine. And that's where it began. I came in having like this inkling of an idea of what it was that people were doing, and immediately I'm thrust into this position where I'm surrounded by people that are like at the top of our industry, the people that I'm being trained by. And even now, not that I take for granted, but I sometimes get so stuck in like looking at who I'm surrounded by and seeing that like we're playing the same game, but we're playing at another level. And I don't realize that until like I step out of it and I'm like, man, I'm really lucky to be in a city with such a strong coffee culture, and a lot of talented and driven people. So like I kind of said to you in the email, I've just been fortunate to be put on like this accelerated track to progress as a barista.
Yeah. Because you were in clothing. Mm-hmm. You worked for a men's clothing store, Radamus. You're from Chicago.
Yeah.
And so you were doing, you know, fashion for all intents and purposes.
Yeah,
up there.
I was. And I still try to like when I get dressed, but other than that, I mean,
he's slumming it in a white shirt right
now. Okay,
it's just
ouch.
Basics. No,
ouch.
I'm just.
Thank you. but yeah, it was. For me, I don't think there's too much of a difference between what it was that I was looking for in the clothing lines that I would bring into the clothing store and what it was that people were trying to achieve with coffee. And it's about the story. It's about the attention to detail. Those were things that I was looking for in the brands that I buy into. It comes down to being like a very conscious consumer. Consumer probably has like a negative connotation, but you can't not be a consumer in our world. So embrace it and just be mindful of what it is that you're buying into.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
So going back to the idea of St. Louis having a very strong coffee culture and other cities with strong coffee cultures. Aaron, you took a trip, a motorcycle trip?
Motorcycle trip, yep.
Motorcycle trip to Vancouver and down the West Coast to explore coffee culture and the coffee scene on the West Coast. Tell me a bit more about that.
It was a crazy idea that I was lucky enough to be a part of. I was just a barista at the time at Caldi's, and my boss and Caldi's, I believe it was their first competitor, had this idea. They wanted to start a cafe, and they thought the best way to do it would be to research the best cafes. The best cafes at the time were all on the West Coast, and the three of us all rode motorcycles. So we sat down with a map and took a month and a half off work and plotted our way, from here to Vancouver, down Highway 1, with days spent in all, like, the coffee meccas. So we spent, like, 4 days in San Francisco, 4 days in Portland, I think 3 days in Vancouver. But going, observing everything, the menus, the cafe builds, the barista culture, just everything that was going on out there at the time. Taking notes, writing a blog, spending long days on motorcycles. But yeah, it was beautiful. The coffee was amazing. Alex, I think he was Caldi's first competitor. Like I said, he had friends all down the coast who were baristas, so we were welcomed at almost every cafe we went into. And we got to see behind the scenes at almost all of them, which was a blast. And they have since moved on to Washington, D.C., and have a cafe right in the city at 14th and U called the Y Down, named after our wonderful street, the Y Down. So it was an amazing trip, though. And that kind of propelled me from being a barista to kind of being the second in command at that cafe and then taking over as general manager.
And how would you say coffee culture in St. Louis compares?
Well, at this point, I'd say we're there. I mean, at this point, the only thing I think we're missing, I don't know, is a tier of cafes that at volume are able to buy and prepare the best coffees in St. Louis. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think I get what you're saying.
That's great. He gets what you're saying, you know, being in coffee.
Yeah.
So, but for the Luddite over here.
Yeah, like... we've got two excellent roasters, one great roaster, and a lot of kind of mid-table roasters is, I don't know. It's hard when you start talking about these things. That's how
yeah,
I see it.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, just, there's like 15 roasters in St. Louis.
There are a lot of roasters.
I did some research about how many are out there, and there are a lot.
And I guess at this point, the cafes that, so cafes like Rise don't roast, but we bring in coffee from roasters. There aren't too many cafes in St. Louis that are trying to execute at the highest level that can buy coffee from the great roasters we have in town. That number is growing, and you see more and more cafes opening that are capable of pulling it off. 5 years ago, a cafe like Rise not only wouldn't have had choice in their roasters for great coffee, but probably wouldn't have had the support of the city in opening and executing coffee at that level.
And Jessie from Rise has a great story. I actually interviewed her for the blog. You can see that on cityinajar.com. And
get the plug.
And the story of Rise is just incredible. And it sounds like you guys are doing really great things with coffee over there.
We're trying.
Amazing things. I mean, what's cool is since I've been here, I've seen a handful of shops open, including Blueprint, and getting to be a part of that. We all bring something different to the table, and you see that with Rise. I mean, you guys have awesome coffee, but your sense of community and the social awareness that you see in a business like that is so admirable. Like, truly, I respect the hell out of it for that reason, that you guys have such a socially motivated kind of approach. And then you see Sump, and you have Blueprint, and you have Comet, and you have Caldi's, and we all represent something different. I know for me and for Blueprint, it's about bringing the customer over, showing them that this is, like, it can be a really approachable thing. Like, what we're doing is, it can be a little intimidating to walk into a coffee shop, especially
when... I was, nervous to order my first pour over.
You walk in and we don't have a menu up for you to see, and it's kind of like, okay, I'm lost. What do I do? I'm afraid, and a lot of people are afraid to ask questions sometimes because they're afraid of the reaction they're going to get. And I think as baristas, there's kind of this reputation of a snobbiness or this kind of disconnect from the customer because they're so dedicated to knowing about coffee, which is a real thing, but that can't exist without having a customer that's there for the ride with you. And that's kind of the approach that we've taken. It's all about the customer experience, you know, and if we can provide that, then they'll come back, and that'll keep us, that one, that's a sustainable approach. And two, that's what'll drive us to keep bringing the best coffee that we can, to keep bringing the best customer service that we can, like day in and day out in the cafe as a roaster. And in that way, we educate the community too about what it is that St. Louis has to offer.
So Blueprint's not just serving this coffee. They're a roaster, like you've said.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about like the craft behind coffee and this the roasting itself.
Definitely. I mean, I'm not a roaster, but I'm in the position to connect the customer to the roaster. And for how we run our operation at Blueprint, we have the roaster about 30 feet away from where I serve my coffee every day. So it's so easy to make that customer feel connected to the process and the chain that that brings them that coffee. It's not just a barista. It goes far. There's a long line before me. So when it comes to that, I'm afforded the opportunity to point at this huge Gotthot, this 1940s restored beautiful machine, and say, yeah, this is where the coffee is prepared. That's where we roast it. And I can talk to them about what we look for in our coffee before we throw it into that machine and what it is that that makes our coffee different. And that can be done in the roast, but really it's in choosing an awesome bean to start with. And I try to make that coffee taste as good as possible when I'm working on the espresso bar or on the brew bar. It's the same kind of passion that drives our roaster, Andrew Timko, and Mazi Razani, two of the guys that we have at Blueprint that are roasting. It's that same approach, that attention to detail and that care for quality that allows them to really push themselves and push each other. And I get to have that direct conversation with them about what it is that I'm tasting on my end.
Sure, sure.
Because I'm the guy that's standing between that and the customer and what it is that I'm serving. So it's really awesome.
So that's an interesting dynamic, because you get to talk to the people who are roasting the beans, whereas maybe Aaron, while you probably know the people roasting at Blueprint or at Sump, Rodimus's job is to show the customer how a Blueprint coffee can taste, where you kind of get to experiment with not just Blueprint coffees, but with other coffees.
Yeah, I would describe what I do more as curating.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent phrase for it.
We try to pick, at Rise, we try to pick the coffees together as a team, but I am the person who's there the most. And in the end, I kind of have a little bit of veto power of what we bring in. So my relationship to the roasters is obviously that of a customer. I know pretty well all the roasters we buy from. So there is like an element of building up trust. I know what their roasting profiles are on my palate. I don't know what they are on their spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Which is a totally different question, which is where it'd be really interesting to talk to roasters about the science behind what they're doing. But I know what they're, so their machines produce a little bit of different roast profiles on their own. You used to be able to pick out coffees blind and know what roaster was roasting them like 5 years ago when you had like intelligence or qualities. You could pick them blind because roasters leave a little bit of a flavor profile of their own. And then the actual roasters themselves, not the machines, but roaster profiles that you can also pick out. And everyone's doing something a little bit differently. So yeah, we buy from Sump, we buy from Goshen, we buy from Caldi's occasionally, we buy from Blueprint, and we buy from Shortwave. And then other things come in all the time, so we constantly get to taste and curate our menu and modify it. And the ones we go back to are the ones we trust, the ones we know are going to treat the coffee with respect that preserves the flavors that we're looking for, that are already in the beans, that need to be brought out in certain ways. And it's fun. I get to drink all kinds of coffee from all over the country all the time.
Yeah. So. There's an aspect to it that I, in my ignorance, my ignorance to bliss journey with coffee, there was an aspect to it that I didn't really consider until kind of recently. And it was this consideration for green buying, that, you know, it's easy to cherry pick, no pun intended.
Nobody's going to get that pun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't understand that pun.
Well, the coffee comes from a cherry. So it's easy to cherry pick like the best bean that you can. And so let's say a farmer has a really good year. You can pick that bean and bring in a few bags of it and sell it. And they have a bad year the next year. So you don't buy from them. That's an aspect that I never really considered. Is really not just seeking the best bean possible, but considering the relationships that you're building and what you want to invest in them. So yeah, you might take a hit 1 year and bring in a coffee that's lesser than it was the season before. But that's about working closely and developing and building those relationships to bring out the best coffee that you can, and really to be a representative of the farmers, you know, through good seasons and bad seasons. But what it's about is creating that trust, and knowing that they are looking to achieve the same things. Your feedback is super important to really working towards this common goal. And that has its ups and its downs. But that's the beauty of it. It's not about the golden cup. It's about the people that you're working with, and that operates on so many levels. And that's a really, really interesting and important part of what it is that we do. We're so connected to each other without realizing it in that way.
It's interesting that you say that, because when I first started drinking coffee, you know, it was the pumpkin spice latte, and I honestly, if you would have asked me where coffee came from, I probably couldn't have told you that it was like a bean. Like, that sounds very stupid and very ignorant, but I didn't know where there are farms out there with farmers who are growing these, obviously. I'm just so disconnected from the entire process of how things get to me sometimes. So in recent years, I've seen a lot of that with coffee roasters focusing on the farms that they're getting their beans from and the entire roasting process, and I'm more connected to that as a consumer than I was, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's cool. It's about feedback. It's about the communication that happens every step of the way, whether that's with, you know, for Blueprint as a wholesale company, we go out and we talk to our cafes that we sell our coffee to. We get feedback from them.
Yeah, a good cup of coffee is not just a good pour over. It starts
so much earlier than that in the process, and there are factors that are out of your control, but that's what makes it beautiful and challenging. The best thing that I can do is really make the customer feel like I care about what it is that I do, and if that's genuine, then that's going to mark the experience for them, and that's what I can do. That's what I can guarantee, and that's what I've learned in working with coffee, and it's really allowed me to connect and create amazing relationships with customers, with friends, with fellow baristas, and a lot of people in the industry. It's really awesome. Those are just things that, like, I never would have considered before I started working in coffee, and they are the things that have made it so enriching for me.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything else you want to share about coffee?
I love Aaron. Aaron is...
This has nothing to do with coffee.
No, this has everything to do with coffee for me. Aaron is one of those people that made me want to stick with coffee. I think one of the first times we hung out, I'm pretty sure it was the first time that I met you, I was at your house arguing about coffee.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and this was at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was just
sounds about right.
Yeah, and you're a mindful person, and Aaron is representative of so much of what I've gotten to see in coffee. You go to any cafe, you talk to a lot of these baristas, and they're like amazing people, really intelligent, thoughtful, and creative, and it just makes me proud to be a part of that.
It's a good coffee community in St. Louis.
Yeah. Aaron's one of the best people to talk to about anything. Yeah.
It's funny that he's been so silent.
Yeah, now he's climbing up. He's always got so many things to say.
Yeah, Aaron. Share with us. You have nothing to say about coffee? I find that very hard to believe. So, Aaron, let's talk about Rise's role in the coffee community.
In the coffee community, Rise tries to kind of take the same approach that it's taken in the Grove, which is to bring as many people in the door as welcomingly as possible. So we hosted our first latte art contest in... Was that October? It was like Halloween.
It was Halloween, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Halloween. And our philosophy was we want to throw a party with a latte art contest in the background and get as many people from all the different cafes in the door. In the past, you go to latte art contests. There's ego on the line. There's money on the line. They can get a little intense. We just wanted to make it a crazy party. I think we succeeded.
Yeah.
But for baristas, that kind of release where you can kind of like let your reputation go and just have a good time with all the other coffee people is like, I think, the exception. It's been done at a few events before, but it was fun to try to create that atmosphere. And we've done it since. Yeah. We did it on New Year's Eve too, and it was a blast.
You guys, like, really, it's such a great place to go and not feel any of that sort of pressure.
Yeah,
it's,
we don't like judgment. We don't like pressure. We don't like ego.
Yeah,
we like people being themselves and having a good time. And however you can get the most number of people in the door with that mindset and just ready to have a good time, like, yeah, that's kind of what we're all about.
You had a good smattering of like liquor and food too, so thank you.
Yeah.
The booze helped. Yeah,
mandatory shots were definitely on the
That
menu.
Was probably the highlight for me, but
it's true. Yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of a fun extension inside of the coffee world. But we try to bring in, if the coffee's good enough, we'll bring in any roaster in town.
What about out of town? I've been traveling a lot this year, and every time I go, I try to hit the smaller roasters there. Sure. So when I was in Arizona, I went to a micro roaster. I was just in Kansas City and basically did a coffee tour of Kansas City. I don't think I did anything else there except drink coffee, and have been bringing back those bags to have here. Do you guys, I very much understand the focus of keeping it on St. Louis, but do you explore outside of St. Louis for your...
We receive samples all the time from outside of St. Louis. I know we've only bought a few coffees from outside of town. And really it is, you know, it's that my attitude is, you know, there aren't quite enough cafes in Rise's position to support as many roasters as we have. And we want to support the best roasters. That's kind of our deal. We want to have the best coffee we can for the people who come in our doors. So if we go abroad too often, you know, we might be a small account relative to the market, but I know we're an account that matters to the roasters we buy from. So we don't like to go away and stay away for more than about a month at a time.
That makes a lot of
sense. And usually it's just like 2 weeks at a time, to be honest. We just bring coffees in for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. Unless something's really good, then we'll keep it on the menu. So it's tough. Yeah, we try to keep it local. You know, we have good relationships with all the roasters in town. And I know they all matter to us, and I like to think we matter to them. So we try to come back as quickly as possible.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining me today, guys, to talk about coffee and such.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess on Twitter you can find Rodimus at
Rad Projection,
and Aaron.
My Twitter account is for social activism only, so I'm not going to put it up there.
All right. So you can't find Aaron on Twitter, but you can find him at Rise Coffee House in the Grove, which is on Manchester Avenue. And likewise, you can find Rodimus at Blueprint Cafe, which is on Del Mar. So go visit them and drink some delightful pour-overs or espresso or lattes or have some drip coffee like I like to do.
Or a nice cup of milk. That's
cup of milk.
It's often overlooked in cafes.
Produced by Hug Monster Sound at Shock City Studios. And thank you for listening. Check out cityinajar.com for more stories and for bonus content from this episode. You can tell me what you thought on Twitter at Jess Leach. And listen in next week when I ask someone else to go on.